Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is Easter Sunday morning, and we are here at Destination Christian Fellowship. We're glad you joined us today and are grateful that you're with us for our first Easter service. Our message this morning is titled, Come and See, Part 1. The last few weeks, we were in a series on the last week of Jesus' life on earth, and so this week, we begin a new series of messages on Jesus' life after the resurrection on Easter. So again, the title of the message is Come and See. These events are so critical and important both to the early church as it was getting started and especially for us today as we are walking in the newness of life with Christ. So again, we just want to jump right into the scripture, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. And we're going to be covering this week four significant events that happened in the life of Jesus after the resurrection. So here we go, Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. So some of the images in this passage are actually quite scary, aren't they? We have this angel that was big and fearsome looking enough to cause a guard of Roman soldiers, probably four soldiers, to faint dead away and at the sight of him in fear. So these brave ladies who braved the events of the cross and stood by Jesus' side at his death were the first ones at the tomb, and they see this same angel. And that angel encourages them with these words, do not be afraid. And the next thing he said to them after that was, I know you're looking for Jesus. Then he said, come and see. And then he said, go and tell. And then he said, remember. So I highlight these five things. I want us to all consider these things that the angel said to the women at the tomb, and that we can take something really important out of these five statements. Really important messages, I think, that apply to us today in our life. So the message that we have and a message to this unbelieving world out there begins with do not fear. The angel's words to the ladies are words that we can use. So many people out there are afraid of God. They either ignore him out of fear or are somehow kept away from him out of some misconception of who God is. The angel very wisely tells these ladies, do not fear. And I think that's an important thing that we need to remember for ourselves. When approaching the Father, our Father loves us. He gave Jesus out of love. Jesus came and died for our sins to prove the Father's love to us. And because the Father loves us, we can truly not fear. The next statement, I know you're looking for Jesus. It reminds me that we all have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. You've probably heard that. There was a song out a few years ago, a God-shaped hole. There's a restlessness. There's a need inside of all human beings that can only be satisfied by a relationship with the Father, that God-shaped hole, if you will. Many people out there are attempting to fill that longing, that desire, with other things. They're trying to fill it with perhaps success, with money, with relationships, with houses and cars, having the right new gadgets, whatever it is, there's a longing that we have inside of us that can only truly be filled by God. And so while we try to fill it with other things, we go and we remain unsatisfied. So the angel's words to the ladies, I know you're looking for Jesus. It just reminds me that we are looking for Jesus too, and so is this lost and dying world. So once we have tasted that goodness of God, we can also say another phrase that the angel says here, come and see. The invitation will be backed up by our God, who tells us that we can promise people that he who seeks finds. God's promises to us are many, but he's promised us that if we will just seek him, that we will be rewarded. And I think that's something we can also tell others, is that what we have received, what we have understood of God's goodness, that we can confidently tell other people, come along with us. Come and see what God has for you. We know that it's going to be good. So having become believers and convinced that God loves us, I think the next thing we can do is to go and tell. That's what the angel admonishes the ladies to do next. Now that they've received this great news, they're supposed to go and tell the others. So the angel sends these ladies out to go and remind them of what Jesus told them to do, and to go and encourage them with these words. Hey, Jesus is alive. So go and tell. That's an important thing. Part of the commission that we will receive a little bit later in the chapter, I believe, has to do with go and tell. We'll cover that in just a bit. The final thing in this passage is the statement, remember. The last thing the angel says before the ladies turn and run is to remember. He says, remember what I've told you. And that's an important encouragement for us today, too, is to remember. Remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Remember his ordinance of the Last Supper. He told us to remember him there. Here the angel is reminding us to remember. And I think that we would do well, especially when we're discouraged, when we're defeated, as these ladies must have felt. Here the Messiah, the one that they adored and worshipped and followed and had been with for these last years, was brutally murdered in front of their eyes. And they had to be terribly frightened and terribly discouraged. But the angel has caused them and asks us also, I believe, to remember. So the next thing that happens, we'll pick up the story in Matthew 28, verse 8. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. So this scene, we see the faithful women, the ones that hung in there with Jesus at the cross, that stood by him through all the terrible things that happened to him. They were taking care of his physical needs here at this point. They had come to anoint his body. Keep in mind here that Jesus was dead, had been dead overnight, and here they are the next day to prepare the body, to give it some burial spice. Basically, back then, the Jews did not believe in embalming bodies. So again, the body was starting to decompose. And so their only remedy in the Jewish culture was to provide burial spices. So that's what the ladies were up to, were to tend to the body. And what a shock it must have been to come here, find the stone rolled away. There was an angel that had commissioned them to go and tell the others, and don't be afraid. So again, we have Mary Magdalene, and it says the other Mary we find out, which is the mother of some of the disciples, were there again taking care of business and being faithful. And who should show up along the path but Jesus himself? I believe he was rewarding them. I believe Jesus was rewarding them for their faithfulness and for hanging in there and for not being afraid and running when the going got bad for him. So again, I just think this was a nice little gesture that Jesus gave to bolster the ladies and to encourage them in their faith, to let them be the first ones to see him alive. So the next thing we see, the third thing, is in Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we will stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. So the name of the game here is bribery. These same guys who are responsible for a unrighteous conviction and had brought in lying witnesses to the court proceedings, these same guys who basically, out of jealousy, it says in the Word, and envy, conspired together to have Jesus murdered. And now these same guys were out there, bribing guards. They paid off, Judas, and now they're paying off guards. They're doing everything just about as unrighteously as anyone could do. And I think it's just underscoring the fact that these guys were supposed religious leaders. Here are these guys who were responsible for bringing God's light to the world and His truth and God's worship coordinators. These same guys were basically, conspiring murderers, bribers, conspirators. And I just think it's a terrible indictment against them. And it also puts us in a spot, too, when you think about it. The church is not always held in high regard. The average public out there has a lot of reason to be suspicious of the church with the fall of a lot of religious leaders and some of the historical improprieties the church has conducted over the centuries. And so with that, we really, it's on us to be excellent in our representation of Christianity and to be very careful to represent Jesus and not to represent religion or religious proceedings, institutions. That's not our job. Our job is to represent Jesus. So with that said, we get into the most important passage and the final passage in Matthew 28. Then, in verse 16, the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Matthew, again, concludes his gospel with these words, this great commission, as we call it. We've taken on this commission here at Destination Christian Fellowship as one of our core values. We really believe that we have been called into this area to answer this call. You can see our other purposes on the following slides. For those of you listening along, our literature and our website have this information as well. Our purpose, mission, vision statements, and our core values are all very critical. So we're going to cover those real quickly here just to support the connection between Matthew's gospel, the Great Commission that he presents, and what we're trying to do out here in the Lake Shastina and Shasta Valley area. Again, we're here on this Easter Sunday, the first Easter Sunday in our fellowship's history, and we're inviting you to come and see. Again, repeating the words of the angel, we're a new church dedicated to the continuing work of Jesus. So our vision is simply this. The vision of Destination Christian Fellowship is to bring the transforming message of life and hope in Jesus Christ to the people of Lake Shastina and the Shasta Valley area. Our mission statement is simply this. The mission of Destination Christian Fellowship is to demonstrate the love of God to the people of Lake Shastina and the Shasta Valley area, and to invite them to join us in the rich inheritance that we have through life in Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Our purpose is this. The purpose of Destination Christian Fellowship is to encourage you towards an authentic commitment to God, to connect you in relationship with other believers, to instruct you in godly living through His Word, to equip you through discovery of your spiritual gifts, to involve you in life-changing ministry and mission in Lake Shastina, the Shasta Valley area, and beyond, and to join with you as we honor God with our lives. Again, so that is our purpose statement. To review real quickly our purpose, to encourage you, to connect you, to instruct you, to equip you, to involve you, and to join with you as we honor God in what He's called us to do with our lives. Which brings us to our core values. We mentioned earlier that our core values, our first one, the most important, is probably this, to fulfill the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says this, again, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all these commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The second core value is this. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus saying, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So again, very, very important. The two great commandments that Jesus gave are so critical that if anything else, we must love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And that's the first and greatest. The second is equally important. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So again, at Destination Christian Fellowship, our core values are these things. To fulfill the Great Commission first, to fulfill the Great Commandments second, and the third thing is this, and this is taken from Matthew as well, chapter 25, verse 34 through 37. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And again, we all know that Jesus' reply to the rhetorical question he asks there is that whenever you do anything for the least of the people in God's kingdom, I'm talking about the guy on the street corner with a cardboard sign, or perhaps it could be even somebody that lives on your block, somebody who's down and out. It could be somebody you know who has a friend or relative that's in jail that needs some encouragement. There's lots of ways that we can fulfill the great compassion of Jesus. And again, it's a commandment, and it's an expectation of Jesus. And this is, again, our core values. This is what we hold very dearly, that's what God's about. Again, to just run through them one more time, to fulfill the Great Commission, to follow the Great Commandments, and thirdly, to demonstrate the great compassion. So, in summary, what we're trying to do here is invite you to come and see. Come and see what Jesus is doing here in Lake Shastina and see what he's doing through this body of believers here at Destination Christian Fellowship. I pray that you find these words encouraging and challenging, and that you would be interested in finding out more about what we're up to here. If you're able to join us, join with us next Sunday. And again, we're right next to the Shastina Mini Mart in Lake Shastina. And I hope you can join us. God bless you.